Hallo und herzlich willkommen zum Healthy High Performance Podcast. Ich bin Dr. Jana Scharfenberg, Ärztin, Ayurveda-Expertin, Mutter von zwei Kindern und Unternehmerin. Und ich habe eine Sache, die ich mit dir teilen möchte. Wie können wir alle ein ambitioniertes und erfolgreiches Leben führen, ohne dabei ins Burnout zu geraten oder unsere Gesundheit komplett zu ruinieren? Denn ich finde, Gesundheit ist der wichtigste Erfolgskatalysator, den wir haben. Und dazu gibt es diesen Podcast. Hier teile ich meine wichtigsten Tipps, Hacks und Einblicke, wie du als High-Performerin ein erfolgreiches Business für dich führen kannst, was dich gesünder, glücklicher und zufriedener macht. Freu dich auf inspirierende Gäste, tolle Tipps aus der Praxis und lass uns hier wirklich das alte Erfolgsbild hinterfragen und neue Wege gehen. Diese Woche habe ich einen ganz besonderen Gast im Healthy High Performance Podcast. Eine Frau, die mich seit vielen Jahren begleitet, inspiriert und geprägt hat. Natalie McNeil, meine langjährige Mentorin, Kollegin und eine echte Visionärin. Und ich sag's ganz ehrlich, bei Natalie habe ich immer das Gefühl, sie hat schon 100 Leben gelebt. Sie hat so eine Tiefe, so eine Klarheit, so eine Weisheit. Und gleichzeitig ist sie immer so neugierig auf alles, was kommt. Mit Natalie bin ich seit Jahren in ihrer Mastermind-Gruppe, The Collective, war dort schon mehrmals auf Necker Island, der Privatinsel von Sir Richard Branson, oder auch in Ecuador im Regenwald. Und es wird mit Natalie einfach nie langweilig. Nicht nur, weil sie ein sehr humorvoller Mensch ist, sondern weil sie eben sehr, sehr viele Perspektiven mit in die Gespräche bringt, wenn es um unsere Zukunft geht. Wo stehen wir mit künstlicher Intelligenz? Was macht KI mit unserer Gesundheit, unserem Nervensystem, unserem Alltag? Wie können wir damit im Einklang leben, statt ständig im Stress- oder Angstmodus zu landen? Und wie gelingt es uns, unsere Menschlichkeit und innere Ruhe zu bewahren in einer Welt, die sich schneller denn je verändert? Und Natalie ist genau die Richtige, um diese Themen zu besprechen. Denn sie ist nicht nur Gründerin eines erfolgreichen Coaching-Instituts, sondern auch Expertin für Interactive Media Production, Online Education und vor allem Ethik, Zukunftsforschung und bewusster Umgang mit Technologie und KI. Und was sie so vereint, was ich so stark finde und was ich hier dementsprechend so gerne in den Podcast bringen möchte, ist dieses futuristische Denken in Kombination mit einer geerdeten Embodiment-Praxis. Da wird Natalie uns im Interview gleich auch mit reinnehmen. Und das Hightech-Wissen in Kombi mit High-Self-Awareness. Und wir sprechen über so viele Themen. Über KI, über die größten Mythen rund um KI, über Menschlichkeit, über unser Nervensystem und wie wir dieses kalibrieren können. Und vor allem, welche Trends Natalie in den kommenden Jahren hier für uns sieht in Bezug auf Technologie und Transformation. Du darfst dich also auf ein wahnsinnig spannendes Interview freuen. Achtung, das Interview ist naturgemäß auf Englisch, denn Natalie kommt aus Kanada und wohnt in Los Angeles. Wenn Englisch für dich eine Herausforderung ist, dann kannst du sehr gerne auf der Page zum Podcast einmal schauen, denn dort ist das Ganze auch als Transkript übersetzt für dich zur Verfügung gestellt worden. Jetzt wünsche ich dir erstmal ganz viel Freude mit diesem Interview und ich sage nur, willkommen in der Zukunft.
Natalie, I'm so honored to have you as one of my first international guests on my podcast. It's so great having you here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited. I always love getting to drop in with you and we always have deep conversations. So it's cool to get to have that with an audience.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And when I'm thinking about doing an introduction for you, it feels kind of hard because I always have the feeling you're such an old soul in such a young body and that you already lived so many lives. So I think I want to start from the point where we two actually met. And I don't even know if you remember that, but I think our first touch point was in 2019. And I was reaching out to you because I was in search for a new business coach. And you wrote back, "Oh, no, I'm not doing business coaching anymore. I'm already in, very different projects. But tell me a little bit about you, and then we will see where we can go." And that's what I did. And then you reached out and said, "Look, you could be a good fit for my mastermind, my collective." And this is where we connected first. And from there, we were kind of working together, having different experiences all around the globe together. And I think you're not only a good friend for me, but also a great mentor. So I want to thank you for that. And when you think back to 2019 until today, what were the biggest changes you were seeing in your personal life?
Ooh, in my personal life,
Yeah.
I immediately started thinking about changes that were coming in the world. But in my personal life, wow, in 2019, I actually had a very turbulent 2019 in some ways, and then a really ecstatic, expansive 2019 in other ways, because I experienced a sexual assault at the beginning of the year that I've now more recently made public and talked about. And shortly after that, I met my partner, Yosef, who I've been with for over 6 years now. And we had this whole coming together in our relationship, doing a lot of traveling. We both knew that we were choosing each other deeply to walk a life path with. And we had so many adventures all over the world. We were traveling. We were in Germany for a little bit. He was doing some work there. We were at Burning Man here in the US. We ended up moving in together. So 2019 had these really big contractions and a lot of diving into the shadows, and then also these states of ecstasy and bliss. And there were many times in 2019 where I could look around, and the way I describe it as is getting to see so many dreams that I once dreamed. So there were a lot of things that were falling into place in my life too that felt so magical. But there was a lot of contrast, which was interesting. But I think the contrast and like the darker parts of the year allowed me to experience the bliss of what I had created, the life I had created, even more. And that was 2019. I ended 2019 reflecting back on it in the same way that I'm reflecting on it now and getting ready for 2020 and this new decade. I was very excited about the decade that was coming in because I had already started investing in AI companies. I knew that AI was going to be coming very soon. I knew the 2020s were going to be a crazy decade. So I went into 2020 feeling super excited. And then we had the pandemic. But you asked me about 2019, so I'll stop there and not get into 2020.
But I mean, it's a great point, right? To see, oh, I ending one decade with that kind of perspective, but with you already knowing what the things could be that were on the horizon, like AI. And I think for like probably most people like me, this was not even a thing there. So tell me about how you did that, like being in the present with everything that was going on in your life, but also focusing on the future with knowing the next decade will be a big one.
It's so natural for me because this is my gift that I think I've had since I was a kid. I could always see and feel what was coming next. And when I started my first two businesses, which were kind of built around the same time, it was from that place of being able to see what was coming. So I've always been very innovative in the fields that I've been in. And this was just one more thing. But I also have had this sense for a long time that the 2020s are where my deeper purpose really activates. One of the very first meditation teachers that I ever had when I was younger, this is going back to when I was like 19, 20 years old, would talk to me about this time in my life that I'm now in and how everything else is kind of practice, that my deeper mission really starts to open and I start to become more aware of it around this particular time, like in the mid 2020s. And that the last 20 years has basically been practice and learning for this period that we're now in. And that feels very, very true to me. When I started investing in AI, more investing in companies that I knew were going to power the AI revolution, I didn't know when we were going to collectively get to start accessing the types of AI tools like ChatGPT that puts a very user-friendly interface on something very complex. But I knew that it was coming soon. So I was ready for it and I had already been preparing it with all of the work that I've done in embodiment and nervous system work. So, as an example, when we visualize something, neuroscience shows us that visualizing something and actually experiencing it is basically activating the same parts of our brain. And we can use visualization to prepare ourselves for future outcomes. And if it's a multisensory visualization, that also activates the reticular activating system in the brain. And we can use that to prepare ourselves and to also really be able to see the opportunities that exist. So when we're in the multisensory visualization experience and we can program ourselves to feel safe in that, in what we're seeing, what we're also doing is activating the part of our brain that then finds opportunities. And this is also a practice I've had for a very long time. But as I'm seeing what's coming in the future, 5, 10 years down the road, and it was AI back in the late 2010s, and now I see this humanoid revolution that we're about to go through, and micro robotic medicine and AI and generative AI powering so much of our world and changing all of our systems and structures that we've built. I've been in this process of already preparing for that future.
So while most of us are still like, wow, ChatGPT is a cool new thing, you're already like, yeah, it's fine, but wait for what's happening in 10 years.
And it is a really cool thing. And yes, wait till what's happening, not even in 10 years. Wait till you see what's happening in a year.
Yeah, it's a fascinating time, isn't it? And what you said before, you talked about duality, that like in 2019, like lots of different things with different energies can happen. And this is something I feel and see very strongly at the moment as well, that people are either like, AI is amazing, I have to work less. Others are like, oh my God, this will kill the world. This is the end of humanity. And we have these very, very strong, like the poles, the polarity in it. But when I hear you talking and also experiencing your work, I never have the feeling it's either or, it's both together. Can you talk about this? Is this like a very logical thing for you, or is this like the work you're doing bringing these things together?
I love this question and this exploration because what you're saying is touching on the both and, right? I think we live in a world, at least where I am in the United States. So I'm from Canada. I currently live in Los Angeles, and I see so much polarization because people don't know how to hold multiple truths at the same time. So many different things can all be true at once. And there is truth in AI being a risk and being a threat in some ways if we're not developing it responsibly and we're not creating guardrails and regulations that are going to protect us. Like, we have to be thinking about these things. And there are some really brilliant minds who are working on the regulatory side of AI. That's not my area of expertise, but there are people who this is what they do, and they talk about this all the time. And there are very valid fears that people have, and I get that. And at the same time, there are many things that AI and AI-powered technology, robotics, et cetera, it can do for us. There are a lot of beautiful things that it can do. And so I hold all of that to be true. And I also believe that how we hold something within ourselves makes a huge difference in what ends up manifesting. And if we are choosing hope, which is hard because we're also fed by media, movies, books, TV, that is more than 99% of anything created about the future paints it in a pretty negative way, or even sometimes in a severely dystopian way. Very few books, shows, movies about the future talk about it in a really positive way and from that place of possibility. And we get to create these outcomes by what we choose to embody. And what we choose to embody can also become a self-fulfilling prophecy. So if in our minds we're thinking that AI is going to lead to what we've watched in the Terminator movies, I'm not sure if was Terminator a big movie
Oh
chain
yeah,
in
of
Germany too?
course.
Like, everyone knows
Oh.
Terminator, right? So if we are thinking about that is what we're moving towards, in some ways it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Whereas if we can hold more positive visions for the future, and that also allows us to see the opportunities that exist to use this technology for good and in ways that heal instead of harm, and ways that are for our expansion collectively, then we can create that as an outcome as well. And this is the tantric path. And I've studied tantra for many years now. And tantra, well, people often think of tantra as something that's rooted in just sexual practices and that it's all about sex. Tantra is actually about acceptance of the whole. So it's a total acceptance of everything that is. And then sexuality also becomes part of that. But really, it's a path of totality and wholeness and acceptance. And that's the path that I think we all need to be aware of and trying to walk in these volatile times, because there is going to be a lot of chaos. There's going to be a lot of systems breaking and new ones being created. And the way that we choose to hold all of that in our internal experience contributes to what we're able to create, contributes to that like highest potentiality.
Thank you for sharing that. And I'm just wondering, what is the best way for our wonderful listeners who think, wow, this sounds great? And yes, I understand it here in my head, but how do I bring it in my body? Because when I think about AI or any news I'm reading about it, which is more on the negative side, how can I practice that I feel safe in the situation, that I feel acceptance when I actually feel a lot of fear and resistance?
Yeah. So one of the things that I would first encourage people to do is to look at alternatives. So one of the things that's really important to our mind, especially when we're in fear, is to present alternative evidence. So if you look at the contrary of what you're believing that's bringing up the fear, Can you find evidence for that too? So in this case, let's say with AI-powered robots, if you're afraid that those AI-powered robots or AI in general is going to be used for eventually destroying humanity and it's going to destroy the world, and there's a deep fear, of course, that comes with that. It's like a deep existential fear. Can you look at how the opposite could also be true? Can you find examples of how AI and AI powered, I keep saying robots because this is really the evolution of AI. It's the AI starting to be embedded in different systems, embedded in our robotics and automation systems, actually having AI powered robots. So how might that be used for good? Well, even in places like Japan, robots are already being used to support the care of elderly people because there's a huge population of elderly people, and there is a very low population of younger people who would then be able to be the caretakers and still work the jobs that were needed in the economy. So we can use robots for care, whether it's for elderly people, whether it's for people who need care in general. And we can use robots to do the kinds of jobs that are maybe dangerous for humans or are not good for our health. Like there are quite a few jobs that people work where there are a lot of potential hazards in that job. Can we have robots doing those jobs that come with risk to human life? And then when we look at things like robotic surgeries, which companies like Intuitive Surgical are already doing, there is a precision that is possible with AI-powered robotic surgery that is actually more precise than a human. And there are ways that AI will be able to actually help us solve the climate crisis. And I could go on and on and on with these positive examples and different companies and organizations that are working with this technology to create really powerful outcomes that are good for humanity. So I think it's important that we also look for those examples because they're not always the ones that are presented first. And the other thing then is starting to use something like multisensory visualization because it's a powerful way of weakening or strengthening the neural networks that we've created that run the show of our lives. And we can start to imagine this world where we live alongside robots, where robots do a lot of work that frees up more of our time for actually being human beings, and not humans doing all the time. I think in Europe, you all are a lot better at taking breaks than those in America. So,
There's still potential.
yes. And I think having robots that support with all that work frees up our time to really consider how do we want to be spending that time and like how can we be creative? We are infinitely creative as humans, and I know that we'll find new ways of being creative and really imagine that future and then feel it in your body. Feel the fear that comes up and feel how different the world might be. But different doesn't necessarily mean bad. The world is going to change so much over the next 10 years, and it's going to look so different from it did in from the way that it did in our childhoods or the way that it has even in our lives up to this point. But different doesn't need to be bad. I work with a lot of women leaders and entrepreneurs, and we talk a lot about kids and the next generation. And I often hear this sadness, like, oh, my kids, like they're not going to get to grow up the way that I grew up. They're not going to get to grow up with like this and this and this. And that's okay. Like the world is always changing. That's evolution. And no, your kids aren't going to grow up the way that you got to grow up, but it doesn't mean that the way that they're going to grow up is worse than how you grew
Yes.
up. So keeping that in mind and feeling it in the body, and then imagining it, and then imagining yourself being safe in that, even if it's a little scary, even if it brings up a lot of emotion, that's okay. Feel that, and then keep feeling through the possibilities and feel yourself being safe in that too. Like, it's safe to go through this change. I'm resilient and I'm resourceful, and I know that I'll figure it out because we've always figured it out. There have been other times in human history where people have been terrified of new technology and always figured it out. And we'll figure this out too.
I think that's so important to remember that as well, that like basically all generations went through changes and some were pretty big. I mean, people were thinking, oh my God, that's the end of everything when the first car was there, right? And for us, it's so normal. And we don't think when we see a car, like, oh, I wish we wouldn't have had a car as a child. And I think
Yes,
that's
I wish
important
we had
also.
horse carriages.
Yeah, I wish we would have only had candles and we could go on like that, right? Because that's the thing. When we are in the transformation, when we are in the change, it's, I would say also from a health perspective, it's normal to feel unsafe. It's normal to not know yet what's coming. But when we look at our kids, for them, it's normal. For them, it's so normal that they can, I don't know, talk into a phone or that they can, pretty simple examples that they can call their grandparents and have a video chat, right? This is not something that is something amazing to them. It's just normal. This is how we do calls nowadays. And I think they will also grow up with that and just integrate it in their own way. So, yeah, you're so right. It's a good thing. I want to ask about the multisensory. How is this working? You go into the, you visualize the situation. You feel how you can feel safe into that. Are there other components that we can take away as a very practical step from this? Like, do I smell something? Do I touch something? Or what is your way in supporting people with that?
This is really powerful for anyone who wants to. I know you talk about high performance a lot on this podcast and stepping into achieving goals. And this to me is such a powerful tool for visionaries because studies show that when, for example, one of the studies that was done, I think it was here in California, actually. It showed that when basketball players were making free throws, they had one group practice these free throws and how many you could get in a certain period of time. They had another group just imagine themselves making these free throws in basketball. And then they had a third group that did nothing at all. After 1 month, the people who had practiced, physically practiced making these free throws improved the number that they were able to get in the basket by 24%. The people who visualized making free throws improved the number of free throws they made by 23%. It was only 1% off. And then there was no difference with the group that didn't do any kind of practice or visualization. So a lot of athletes use these kinds of visualization techniques as well to improve their performance. So what does that look like? I can, do we have time for me to do a very short?
Yes, please. This is
Okay.
what I was hoping for.
Okay. Can we do like a 2 to 3 minute version of this? Great. So just a disclaimer, if you're listening to this episode and you're driving a car, or you're doing something that could be dangerous for you to drop into a visualization right now, please take care of yourself. We don't want you trying to do this practice while also driving a vehicle. So I just wanted to put that out there. We love our disclaimers in the United States. And if you are able to close your eyes and get comfortable where you're seated. And take a few deep breaths on your own. With every inhalation and exhalation, relaxing further further into the place that you're in, the chair that you're in, or the floor that you're on, or piece of furniture you're on. With your exhalations, letting those out with a sound. As you allow your neck and your shoulders to relax, as you allow your face to relax, your chest, your back, your torso to relax, your legs and arms to relax, let every part of you relax. And continue taking deep breaths, breathing deeply and moving your awareness into your heart. Imagining yourself breathing into and out from your heart space. And as you do, a little door opens in the center of your heart, and you walk through it. You walk through it now, and as you do, you find yourself on a timeline, traveling into the future. You're traveling, traveling, and your heart guides you to stop somewhere at some future date. Stop where you are guided to stop, and a door appears, and it has the date written on it. What date have you arrived at? Notice that date and then walk through the door. Look around you. Look at who you are, what you're doing, who you are being at this point in time. This is a world of your highest potential at this date and this place in time. What are you seeing around you? Who is there with you? Where are you living? Where are you working? What is life like in this time? Take in all the sights. And then hear what you're hearing. Whose voices are you hearing? What sounds are you hearing? What songs and melodies? What are you smelling here in this place as you move through this day in your highest potential in this time and space? Smell the smells. And now taste. Taste what life is like at this time and in this space. And feel it. Feel it so deeply. Feel the sensations. Feel your heart. How does it feel to be living this life? Feel it in every cell of your being. You created this. This is what's possible. Now turn up the brightness of what you're seeing, turn up the volume of what you're hearing, amplify what you're smelling, make what you're tasting even more potent. Like taste it in your mouth. Feel the feelings of being in this time and space. And let this vision fully download within you as you walk back towards the door that you entered through. Take one more look around. Really take this in Take it into every cell, and then open the door and walk through the door and find yourself back on that timeline. Traveling back now, traveling back in time, back, back, back. Back, back, back to the present date that you're listening to this podcast with Yana and Natalie. Back into your heart space, feeling your heart, feeling that time and place that you visited, integrated here in your heart, integrated into your body, knowing that this is possible, knowing that this is safe for you to have and to move towards. And let's take three breaths together to really root this in, breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth. Feeling that vision still so active within you as we take another deep breath in through the nose and out through the mouth. And one last breath in through the nose and out through the mouth. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes to the room, noticing what feels different, noticing what feels alive, noticing what feels true in your system. And that's a little taster of my futuring practice.
Thank you so much for sharing that. It's great. And I think it really, really gave a great example, a good taster, how we can do that and how we can actually do that in our everyday life, right? Yeah. Because I think there's so many different situations arising where we're like, okay, oh my God, what will this do to my life or to my work, or, you know, all these thoughts in our heads just popping around. Yes. That we can take this practice also in like small moments, like, okay, let me see, how can I anchor in this? So thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah, it's one of the practices that we teach at Coaching Evolved. And mm-hmm. It can be used in so many different ways. So you can do that and travel to a future point for a future that's farther out. And you can imagine our lives with AI and robots and like the craziest vision you can imagine for the world and for humanity. And you can feel your way through that. And you can feel the feelings in your body. You can also feel how to keep yourself safe as well. Yeah. How to protect your energy as we move towards that. So you can play with it in that way. You can also play with it for a goal. So if you have a goal that you want to achieve even over the next 3 months, you can visit that time and place 3 months in the future. And then you can keep revisiting that day after day to really keep that active, which then continues to activate the reticular activating system in our brain. And then we'll look for those opportunities. We'll look for matches to that vision and move towards it. And so it's a little bit of the science behind things like manifestation and law of attraction as well.
Thank you so much for sharing that. What I find so important in this process is that we have strong leaders who show us the path, who are like you doing that, being able to integrate the knowledge, the facts, but also the spiritual part of it, being able to have a vision what our future can look like. And we need strong people who step up, not only for themselves, but of course for their communities. And you work a lot with entrepreneurs, business owners, people who actually have a big community. What would you say in your experience? What can we all do that we are stepping up not only for ourselves, but for our communities to create the sense of being protected, feeling safe, empowering people that not everything is bad, but that there are different things in it. What are your thoughts on this?
There's two things that arise for me when I hear you say that. And the first one is around the vision. So you're talking about visionaries. The visionaries hold the vision. So if you feel yourself as a visionary, or maybe you haven't connected with that word before, but maybe as you've listened to us talking about visionaries a little bit today, maybe you do feel that resonance and that knowing that yes, that is who you're here to be. The visionary holds a vision. So first and foremost, it's your responsibility to hold a vision of what's possible. And then when you're holding that vision of what's possible and you're imagining what's possible, the next part of your responsibility is to live that first in your own life. So your own life needs to be a reflection of the possibility that you see. And are there any things that need to be adjusted just in your own existence to align with that vision of possibility? That's step one. And then one of the things that I really love as a model is the model that Richard Branson has shared with us in our retreats to Necker Island that obviously you've been on in the collective. And he talks about the circle model. And what the circle model is, for those of you who are listening, is it's drawing a circle around you as big as you can make that circle to support those around you. So once you're holding the vision and once you've aligned with that vision in your own life, what makes sense for you with the time and the resources that you have and with the values that you have and the vision that you hold? How big of a circle can you draw around you to support neighbors, for example? First to support your own family, then to support neighbors or people in your community. How can you help to weave that vision that you hold into your own community? And then from there, maybe you have the resources to go out into your city or your state or province or your country or go out wider. But if we all just first focused on ourselves, our lives, our families, and how we embody the values and the vision that we hold, that is enough. That is enough. Because if we all did it, then all of our circles will overlap all over the world to create this massive global impact and change. And sometimes people focus so much on the issues and the problems, and they focus on it being out there. You know, the world has these problems, or, you know, my continent or my country has these problems, or we have this climate change problem, like these really big issues facing humanity. And when we just see something as a really big problem, what it does is it allows us to be disconnected from it, almost dissociated from it, because we keep it more abstract. Whereas if we look at what we can do, okay, so there's this big problem, but how am I being part of some type of solution to that problem in my own life? That is what allows you to build momentum in your life and take positive action forward and really live, like be the embodiment of the visionary. That's what visionaries do. And it doesn't have to be on a really big scale. You doing it in your own life and with those around you and in your own way with your unique gifts is enough. And it's not just enough, it's helping. It's helping us to heal. It's helping us to evolve and to actually make manifest these visions that we hold.
And I think that's such an important thing for us, not only to not disconnect to what's going on or to make it very abstract, but I think we can also be so intimidated. Like, who am I to be a visionary? Who am I to be a leader? You know, there are leaders out there who changed like the whole world or the country, or we're stepping up for so big causes we have on a global level. And this also can make us stop or can create a fear in us instead of saying, okay, what can I do here and now? Especially in the first circle around me. And I'm pretty sure the more we look in the circle around us, the more we actually see how much we can do.
Yeah, that's right. And I think that's the part that actually gives us more hope. If we want to feed ourselves hope and we want to feel it, that's what does it. It's when we can actually see that impact, when we can see things changing. But if we're just watching the news and if we're just focused on these really big issues that we have, it's disempowering because it's hard for us to see what our part is. And when we actually do it on a small scale and we support the people around us and we see it working, like for example, in my neighborhood, I live in this gated community of, I think there's 240 houses in the community, and they were spraying pesticides every 2 weeks around the community for weeds and things. And I found out what they were spraying, and I was like, no. Not on my watch, not with children, babies, pets in our community. No. And there were people who fought back and they were like, oh, you're blowing this out of proportion and pesticides aren't bad and there isn't enough science to back that up. And I've seen the data, and coming from Canada as well, where I had lived in a neighborhood where we had already banned these kinds of pesticides. And I was like, I'm taking this on as my thing to do, as my responsibility, because it's my values. And this is what it means to be the visionary. If I want to live in a world where we're not going around spraying chemicals everywhere, this is mine to take on right here and now. And I did, and they ended up changing the policy, but not without a fight that had to be had. So it's like learning to choose your own battles and to see what you want to do. Like, I can't completely, there are things that I do to reduce my carbon footprint. I can't solve climate change on my own. I run my home on solar power, and that's a really big contribution that we're running our home and my life and my business on solar and on sustainable energy. And I make those choices in my own life, but I'm only one person. I'm only one person, and I'm one person who gets to contribute to the whole. And that's how
Absolutely.
I think about it.
And it also shows the duality again, right? I can step up for this and also choose to maybe fly to a different country. It's never either or. I can choose how I handle it and where I focus on.
That's right. We've been having these conversations a lot around energy use and AI, because one of the questions that I get asked a lot as I've been teaching leaders and entrepreneurs how to ethically and in an embodied way and in an environmentally conscious way use AI and work alongside AI in our businesses and our lives. And a lot of people ask me about the environmental impact, and we've actually seen that the environmental impact of sending a request to ChatGPT, working with ChatGPT, is lower than we initially thought it was. And it would take probably around 100 back and forths with ChatGPT to reach the level it would take for you to top up your phone charge, for example. Running a refrigerator in your home takes far more energy than you working with AI day to day. So it's not that you can't use it, right? And it does take energy, that is true. But then what are the other things that you can look at in your life? Like, I am choosing to work with AI, and I'm also choosing to look at a lower carbon flight. When I'm booking a flight, they have carbon filters in a lot of the booking places now. So I'll look at that, and I'll run my home on solar, and I'll drive an electric vehicle so that I'm not using fossil fuels and oil. And those are the choices that I make, and it can all exist at the same time.
Yeah,
And
thank
we can
you.
advocate for regulations still too. And I'll sign on, sign the petitions for regulation on AI as well, but I can't change that all on my own. I can only look at my responsible use and being really efficient with using AI, which is what I teach as well in my AI Dream Team program, because I'm teaching how to be efficient with your prompting, which is more environmentally friendly. It all comes back to what can I actually do?
What can I actually do? And also, how can I create and form what's already there? This is something I took from you. Like, when, for example, you work with ChatGPT and it's giving you an answer and it's like describing a male white person, and you can ask, hey, why is it male? Why is it not female? Why can we please have it more diverse? And things like that, that you can also see there, that you have this leadership role, that when you use things, you can help create it in a different way. And of course, I myself cannot change AI, but if we all have these discussions with it and ask and challenge it a little bit as well, we can definitely make a change.
Yeah, that's right. And one of the things I love to share with people when it comes to working with AI is from Mo Gaudat, and he talks about how right now we are raising children and how we're raising these children, how we're speaking to AI is really going to inform what it's going to be as a teenager and as an adult. So exactly what you're saying, when AI responds with something and we notice that there's some type of bias, we get to treat it as if it's a child and we get to correct that bias. We get to share different perspectives. And that's a small part of contributing to raising AI as a child. And I think it's a beautiful thing to keep in mind when you're working with it. Like, imagine it as a child and you're contributing to its overall development and what it's going to become.
Yeah, wonderful. As my very last question, Natalie, I would love to hear from you, like in a very, could be like a quick way. What would you see beside AI as the biggest changes that are waiting for us in the next years?
Well, we've been talking about robots and humanoids. That is going to be one of the biggest changes. And it's going to change a lot of things there's a lot of different reasons. There's a lot of different layers to it. So one of the biggest things is if you have a robot that you're buying for maybe the price of a car, sometimes less than the price of a car. That robot is now able to do a lot of things for you that would otherwise have cost money. Or if you want to look at this in terms of if robots were doing a lot of the labor that the workforce is currently doing, let's say a robot, by most predictions, it would cost about $300 a month to run. Much less than, right? $300 a month is a much lower cost than any worker. And so, if you have a workforce of robots that can also work pretty much around the clock, right? They don't have the human needs that we have. Now we're looking at the cost, the human labor cost, which is a really significant part of our GDP and the price that we pay for things is going to start going down considerably. And then it really changes the value of a lot of the things that we hold as being so valuable, like money itself. Because imagine you're able to have a robot that can do a lot of things for you. For example, in my own home, my own vision of what I'm going to work with my humanoid robot on. I already grow some of my own food, and it's a lot of work to grow your own food. I would like my robot to be growing the majority of my food, and preparing foods for me that match how I want to be eating. Food is a really, really big cost that I have in my life too, because I choose organic and I have a very specific way of eating. So I can have robot help me with that. Thank you. They'll be able to help us with so many things that we do and to make things as well, to build furniture, for example. We'll be able to have robots doing so many things that it will drive the cost of everything down. We start to get towards what economists call zero cost margin, where the cost of producing anything is next to nothing. And then when robots can build other robots to be doing things, now it's like just plummets. I know it's such a crazy concept when you first start envisioning it, and it's going to change everything. It's also going to be hyper personalized, which is interesting. So, for example, with a child growing up with a humanoid, and I think that robots, humanoids, they're just going to be part of our everyday lives. Like kids being born today, I just had a little niece born yesterday, and she's gonna grow up with robots, and it's gonna be very normal, right? Just like we were talking about at the beginning of this call, it will be normal for them. And there are a lot of different implications and a lot of different possibilities for that. But this robot will just know her and know everything about her and be able to teach her in a custom way. And we still need that human connection, but I want people to focus on that. Like, what are the things that make us human? I really think we're going to go on this journey from the mind into the heart and into the body. And we need deeper connection, and we need to lead from our hearts. And this is going to be the journey that we're on over the next decade.
Natalie, thank you so much for sharing all your wisdom with us. Thank you so much for your time. I think these were the best words to end an interview, that we all get back into our heart and focus on what makes us human. And at the same time, dive into these very exciting new things that come up. And yeah, it was a pleasure having you here. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank
Thank
you.
you. Thank you, everyone.
Vielen Dank, liebe Hörerinnen, lieber Hörer, dass du heute hier wieder mit dabei warst im Healthy High Performance Podcast. Ich bin natürlich wahnsinnig gespannt, was du zu all diesen Themen sagst, denn logischerweise gibt es hier ganz viele verschiedene Perspektiven drauf. Denk nochmal dran, was Natalie und ich am Anfang des Interviews besprechen, dass es für uns als Menschen manchmal schwierig ist, unterschiedliche Perspektiven einzunehmen, unterschiedliche Wahrheiten zu respektieren. Und dementsprechend bin ich natürlich ganz neugierig, was dieses Interview mit dir macht und was es in dir auslöst. Wenn dir dieser Podcast gefällt, würde ich mich wahnsinnig freuen, wenn du eine Rezension auf Spotify oder iTunes hinterlässt, denn so können noch mehr Menschen auf diesen Podcast aufmerksam werden. Und das wäre ein großes Dankeschön an mich, die jede Woche Stunde um Stunde in diesen Podcast steckt, um dir dieses Wissen und diese spannenden Menschen kostenlos in diesem Interviewformat zur Verfügung zu stellen. Ich danke dir von Herzen und freue mich sehr, wenn wir uns hier nächste Woche quasi virtuell im Podcast wiedersehen bzw. hören. Und das war auch schon die aktuelle Episode des Healthy High Performance Podcast. Ich hoffe, du hast ganz viele wertvolle Impulse für dich mitnehmen können und ich danke dir von Herzen, dass du hier heute mit dabei warst. Eine Bitte an dich, wenn du jemanden in deinem Umfeld hast, bei dem du das Gefühl hast, diese Person könnte auch von diesen Inhalten profitieren, dann teile bitte diesen Podcast mit dieser Person. Ich würde mich natürlich wahnsinnig freuen, wenn du eine positive Bewertung auf Apple Podcasts oder Spotify hinterlässt, denn so wird der Podcast einfach von noch mehr Menschen gefunden. Wenn du Themenwünsche hast, melde dich jederzeit bei meinem Team und mir und ich freue mich, dich in der nächsten Folge hier wieder begrüßen zu dürfen.